You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a heads up here on our programming. The Senate impeachment trial of former President Trump resumes this morning with House impeachment managers and Trump's lawyers beginning to argue their respective cases. You can find live NPR coverage starting at 11 on the NPR News and Music Network of Wisconsin Public Radio or online at WPR.org. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. This month marks the program's 10th anniversary, and as part of the celebration, here's former host Erica Janik reflecting on one of her favorite stories that centered on friendship and adult literacy.
Hello, Wisconsin! There are so many stories that I could have picked, so many that have stuck with me and introduced me to people from all over the state. It was a true blessing to host and produce this show. Now, we did many different series, but one of them that I was most proud of was a series on literacy in Wisconsin. I visited with people all over the state who were kind enough and honestly brave enough to share their stories with me, because being an adult who struggles with literacy isn't something that many people feel comfortable talking about or sharing. And one of the people I met was a woman named Ruth, who was working with her tutor, Bonnie. They met once a week at the Oshkosh Public Library, which is where I met them.
I was recently retired and decided I needed to do something constructive with my time. And I saw in the paper where they were needing volunteers. So I contacted them. I went through the training that you need to go through. I remember I still have the email that Danielle sent me and said, I have a learner for you that I think you would like to work with. And her name is Ruth.
First, when I got here, I had problems of reading, understanding the questions. That person said, well, I know some people up here that could help you with it. So I came up here.
Ruth is my first person that I tutored with, and I think Ruth was working towards her GED initially. That's what brought her to those services. And we've been together since that time.
We read every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday for about an hour.
Sometimes she will help me go over words and solving it out. Because I do have some big words right now that I got a book I'm reading.
But she does really well. We're working on breaking them apart, sounding them out. Ruth is not a child, so I'm not going to teach Ruth like a child. Ruth is very committed to this. She never misses, and she has made such huge progress this last year. It's amazing. The Ruth that I first met was not this Ruth. You were very quiet, and you did not make eye contact. You didn't smile, and now it's like she's just gotten that self-confidence, and she shines when she's here.
I never had people do this before. I usually try to depend on myself, and I love working with her. She's a very sweet lady, but she's been doing a lot of things for me that I don't expect her to do. I mean, she's like my sister, but she's not. She's goes out for me, and I love her for that. I mean, she's a great lady.
Make me cry, Ruth. Don't make me cry this morning.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. It's the truth. I mean, I'd go out and jump for celebration if I passed the test. You did it. Now go out there and buy screen the whole world. I did it. That would make me feel so happy and proud. That's my goal right now.
We'll work on that then.
Wisconsin Life means the world to me, and it's a pleasure to share this story with you. My greatest hope for the show is that you would hear people who sound like you and people you didn't know lived in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Erica Janik.
And now we have Wisconsin's chief election official on the line ahead of the spring primary set for Tuesday and the general election set for April 6th. Do you plan to vote in the statewide primary for state superintendent? What questions do you have about voter registration or voting with absentee ballots? Join in 800-642-1234. Megan Wolf is administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Megan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Before we look ahead, let's look back. What have you learned about Wisconsin's election system from reviewing the November presidential election?
Well, thanks for that question. You know, I think after every election, it is just as important to focus on transparency as it is before an election. That looks a little different, though. After an election, you're looking at the data. You're looking at the numbers. You're doing things like the audits of the voting equipment after an election to understand the record of the election and to really create a roadmap for the future using a data-driven approach. And so we've done a lot to take a look at the data, to put the data out in reports on our website, to share them with the media, so that voters can really see and be involved in that process. You know, so much great work goes into the post-election process to certify the results at the municipal, county, and state level. And then all of our municipal clerks in each of our 1,850 cities, towns, and villages, they're inputting the data from their election into a statewide system. And then we have access to this really robust data set that we're able to dig into. And again, make sure that we understand the November election, present that data to the public. And it also helps us to provide data to inform decisions in the future.
Yeah, let's dig into the data sets and the audits. What were some of your top line takeaways from November?
Some of the most interesting data is that we've really seen a shift in the way that voters interact with the elections process. And I don't think that's any surprise given the pandemic. But in April, you know, we saw this huge shift in terms of voters utilizing in-person and by mail absentee voting. We went from a state that did about 6% absentee by mail to a state that did over 60%. Now, we saw those numbers go down a little bit in April, but we still saw that we went to a state that did about 43% absentee by mail to a historic, again, average of around 6%. We saw in the November election about 40% of people going to the polls on election day, and then about 18% of people that are going to do in-person absentee. So really some major changes in just the way that voters interact with the voting process, which means that we have to make changes to our technology, that your local election officials have to make some pretty major changes in terms of where they allocate their resources. And again, we don't know what that trend is going to look like into the future, but we can take away some lessons learned from that information to continue to make sure that all of our systems are prepared for adjustments in that voter behavior over time.
Yeah, so you saw the sea change in absentee voting. How many complaints did you receive over how the November election was run?
You know, there are different kinds of complaints and avenues for people to voice their opinions. In terms of sworn complaints, where people are providing actual data and asking for us to look into that, there were relatively few. Those are taken incredibly seriously. They're looked at by our six-member commission, who ultimately makes a decision. But then we have more informal channels that people can relay their thoughts, concerns about election procedures. And this year, in terms of contacts to our office, it was almost threefold from what we've seen in previous elections. So in previous Novembers, during a general or a presidential election year, we'd see something like 10,000 contacts to our office. We're a pretty small office. We have about 31 full-time staff in our office that have election expertise. In the 2020 presidential election, our office saw close to 30,000 1,000 contacts to our office. And again, sort of the resourcing level has stayed the same, but the number of contacts coming to our office has increased. And, you know, we pride ourselves on every time somebody calls or emails us, we acknowledge their question, we treat them with respect, and we provide them with a factual, nonpartisan answer as we're required to. And so continuing to maintain that level of customer service with the increase of contacts has certainly been a challenge, and something, again, we'll use that data to drive innovation and improvement to our customer service process.
What did you learn from the recounts that were requested by former President Trump?
So, yeah, I think working with Dane and Milwaukee counties, they were really the ones that run that show, right? The counties are the ones that are charged with running a recount. But I think they learned a lot about how observers can be involved in that process, how you can use technology to show that process. You know, there's engagement with elections. There's transparency in elections in every step. But how do you make that engagement meaningful, right? How do you make sure that people can see the things they expect to see, be involved in the process in a way where they understand the context? And I think that's something that we're all continuing to learn together is, in pandemic circumstances, how do you create opportunities for meaningful engagements at recounts, at polling places, so observers, which is a really important role, have an opportunity to really meaningfully be involved.
We are getting an elections update with the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Megan Wolf is here. Do you trust that elections will be secure now and in the future? What do you want to know about how absentee ballots are handled, where your ballot goes, the process? Be part of this. Your questions answered, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Megan Wolf right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. In recent weeks, we invited all 7 candidates vying to be Wisconsin's next state superintendent of public instruction to join us on the air, and nearly all agreed to come on, sharing where they stand on issues facing public schools. That race narrows to 2 on Tuesday. We have Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf on the line to find out how clerks are preparing for the primary and the general election on April 6th. And you can join in. What questions do you have about elections and for our state's chief election official? 800-642-1234. Megan Wolf with us for about 10 more minutes. So can you explain the races that are on the ballots for the next Tuesday, February 16th, statewide election?
So the races on the February ballot include the statewide contest of superintendent for public instruction. There are also 2 special primaries for Senate District 13 and Assembly District 89 to fill vacancies. And then there's going to be 101 separate primaries for things like county board, school district, city, village, and town officials across the state. So the February primary is the February nonpartisan primary. Again, where mostly you're going to see those local contests, those very important local contests on your ballot. And you can check myvote.wi.gov to see what's going to be on your ballot in your community. And while you're there, you can double check your polling place. You can check your registration to make sure it's up to date. And you can also track your absentee ballot if you've already received, requested, or returned your absentee ballot.
I want to ask there about myvote.wi.gov and how the site poses this question on absentee voting. And the question is, can't make it to the polls due to age, hospitalization, or disability? Request an absentee ballot for all elections. What about COVID and the risk of exposure? That was a reason to request absentee ballots in the past.
So the law says that if a voter cannot appear at the polls because of age, illness, infirmity or disability, that they can certify that on their absentee ballot request. And that's been the longstanding guidance and law in the state of Wisconsin. It's also been reaffirmed by multiple courts, including the Supreme Court. And the commission has further solidified that guidance by reminding voters that you're the one that has to make that certification. The law says age, illness, infirmity, or disability. When a voter requests their ballot, they have to certify if one of those conditions applies to them. And that you also can't just use it as a means to avoid the photo ID law. We did take a look at our data and found that 80% of voters who have utilized the indefinitely confined status have at some point in the last 4 years shown a photo ID. But that is one of the aspects of that provision as well. And again, it's for each voter to make that determination and to certify to their qualification.
Is it too late to request an absentee ballot for Tuesday?
Yeah, if you're looking at getting your ballot by mail, you know, the post office does say it can take up to 7 days for you to get and return your ballot. We are at day 7 right here. Mm-hmm. So if you have an absentee ballot, get those back right away. You may be able to get it in the mail and get it back, but it has to be back by 8 p.m. on election day. There's no exceptions. And so if you're afraid it won't get back in time, drop it off with your clerk. Go to your municipal clerk's office, drop it off with your clerk. You can go to MyVote to check and see contact information for your clerk and figure out the best way to get that ballot back. If you haven't voted yet, consider maybe in-person absentee. So again, if you go to MyVote, you can contact your local election official and find out about in-person absentee options this week in your community. And then, of course, if you want to vote at the polls on Election Day, polls are open from 7 a.m. till 8 p.m. next Tuesday, February 16th, and they're safe, they're secure. We've worked a lot with our clerks over the last year to make sure that each polling place is safe, that we've incorporated public health guidance into every step of the process. You're also going to see a very low turnout election, and so there's a very, very low likelihood of things like lines in a February primary.
Yeah, how prepared, Megan Wolf, are clerks for Tuesday's primary compared to the presidential election in November?
So I think that our clerks have been extraordinarily prepared for not just this election, but for November. And here's why. You know, in the state of Wisconsin in 2020, our clerks conducted 4 statewide elections. There was also a special election that was held in May for one of our congressional districts. So a lot of our clerks ran 5 elections under pandemic circumstances in 2020. That's very different than in other states where maybe they had 1 or 2 elections in 2020. And so I think our clerks are very, very prepared in terms of adjustment to absentee requests and the volume that they're experiencing, but also in running government functions. I mean, clerks don't just do elections. They do all sorts of things in their communities. And so I think they've really had to adjust all their procedures to make sure that they can stay safe, that their customers, their voters can stay safe as well. So I think they're extraordinarily prepared. They're just a incredibly dedicated group of public servants, our local election officials are. And I think we should all have a great deal of gratitude for the preparations they've all made to make sure that voting can continue in each and every community in Wisconsin and that it's safe.
I would imagine, too, that they will have enough poll workers considering a low turnout election expected that you won't need to call on the National Guard.
That's correct. You know, February, again, is very low turnout. But I also think that just like voters, that our poll workers are also feeling more comfortable navigating public spaces and serving in that capacity now that they've had the experience through 2020.
Are voters
hearing of shortages around the state for poll workers?
I'm sorry. Are voters required to wear masks at the indoor polling locations?
So you can't ascribe an additional qualification to voting, right? So it's not a requirement that voters have to wear a mask, but it's certainly encouraged. And so all through 2020, the commission put out guidance that it's encouraged, but it's not a requirement of a voter because you can't ascribe an additional qualification to voting.
We're discussing elections with Megan Wolf, the administrator of Wisconsin State Elections Agency. What questions do you have about voting? Do you trust the process? What would you change on how elections are run? 800-642-1234. Megan, before last year's elections, the Elections Commission awarded grants to help counties improve on their security. Are there still ways that clerks need to improve security? How far have they come?
That's a great question, because I think there's always this misunderstanding that there's some sort of finish line when it comes to security, and there isn't. I think that our clerks did an incredible job in utilizing those grants to make sure everybody had the technology, the security training and support they needed for the 2020 election. But those threats, those concerns, security, it's not going away. And so I think now as a state, we need to figure out how do we sustain those important efforts into the future in each of our 1,850 communities. So I think we're in a great spot right now, but I think we can't rest on that project, because we have to make sure that we're prepared as we head into the future and that we have really sustainable programs in place.
Why are we in a great spot right now?
Right. Giving those grants to our local election officials, it ensured that even our smallest communities in Wisconsin had the technology, the IT support, and the training that they needed to meet an equal level of security. So whenever they go to do their work in the statewide database, entering voter registration records, recording participation, they all have a secure device with very sophisticated technology on it so that we can ensure their device does not have any sort of threat on it before they access our system. They've all been to training, and they all have IT support that they can call if they have some kind of issue. And so I think that is where we stand right now, and it's pretty incredible to see the progress they've made from even a few years ago, where that wasn't the case in some of our smaller communities.
We only have a few seconds left. Have you heard of experiences of clerk burnout, of exhaustion from what just transpired in 2020 for them?
It has been a long year for election officials. But I think, again, you're looking at a group of just incredibly dedicated public officials. Yes, we do hear of burnout among our local election officials. And I think, in many of our communities, in our 1,200 townships in the state of Wisconsin, this is a part-time job. And so let's support them, sustain their efforts into the future.
Megan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Megan Wolf is administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You can find more information about registering, voting, and the races on your ballot at myvote.wi.gov. Just ahead, a Pulitzer Prize-winning climate journalist discusses her new book, Under a White Sky. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.